XOXO JK is brought to you by National Machine. National Machine is a Minneapolis-based tech collective that builds digital products, systems, and experiences. Their services include design, engineering, hosting, content creation, and strategy. They are extremely productive grown-ups who love what they do. And that's cool. Get in touch with them at nationalmachine.co.
Jen Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly, and you're listening to XOXO.
JK.
A podcast about life. The good stuff, the real stuff, the funny stuff, and everything in between.
I'm so excited to welcome our special guest today. We're doing a two recording day with guests.
So
which
excited.
Which is a big deal. And our very first guest, I'm super pumped about because it's someone that both you and I, Kate, consider a friend and
yep.
love, even though today is the first time we've ever met in real life.
Right. You know her URL, but not IRL.
Yeah. Totally. You spent a lot of time writing that. I know.
I didn't. I just stole it.
Let's give it up for the very lovely and talented Athena Pelton.
Hi.
So excited to hear
you. My heart's beating like a million miles a minute. That was a very nice intro.
Well, I'm not done yet because
wait,
Athena, you are known to the public as a photographer, an art director, a whiskier, which is one of my personal favorites.
Made up words are like
love
my jam.
It, love it. Mm-hmm. Calligrapher, you write your artwork, writing, everything is beautiful. Motorbiker, which is a fan, fantastic.
Some of these I didn't even know.
Yeah, and this is a good one too. Do it all, or because you really are. That's yeah. like your whole.
That's just my tagline from now.
Your
on.
Whole
just
thing.
Do it all.
That's
I
your
love.
Whole thing.
Except for intravenous drugs and sex with strangers.
We've all been there.
Because
which are
like,
sort of like, you know, grouped.
As a together, married yeah. woman, the sex with strangers just sort of, you know, it has to be there and intravenous drugs because I'm not 80 yet.
Yep.
Because that's the benchmark
absolutely.
For IV drugs.
Right.
I have a life
plan.
Yeah.
To do that. Yep.
Wait till
drugs.
You've lived a life. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about you, Athena, is your, like, your optimism that I feel like I take a lot from, like via social media, because that's mostly how we've interacted, or yeah. your really kind text messages that you send me, which always are like at the most perfect time and like so
I
lovely
get
and
on
wonderful.
That.
You do. They always also involve the dancing bunny girls.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's
my favorite one. And I just think you have like such interesting views on like people and relationships and nature and love and pretty much just like everything in general. So like everything that you write, I always stop and take
yeah.
a moment to read.
And also, I want to add poet too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I mean, it always is like this sort of like sweeping feeling that I get. It could be in the middle of like a really stressful day or something that maybe I'm thinking about or complaining about or like just having a rough time. And then I'll see something you post and it'll just stop me in my tracks.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're just like doing your thing. And that's what makes it so incredible is that it sort of just like swoops yep. in and you're just like completely changed by what you just read. That doesn't happen to me a lot. Does that happen
yeah.
to you a lot?
Mm-mm.
Right. So
mostly I just ignore people.
The first interaction, I mean, before the like the first real interaction we had and like I think the moment we became friends was like we had been friends on Twitter.
Yep.
Interacting with each
Thank
other.
Thank you, Twitter. Shout out to Twitter.
I think that we had already
not
become
a sponsor
friends
of
on
this
Facebook.
Podcast. Well, though they
not
should
a
be.
Sponsor on the podcast. Not yet. And then you asked me for my address, which I felt comfortable getting.
Which is, let's face
you.
It, that's kind of weird. I don't know you, but can you send me where you live? So
right,
thank you
like,
for
okay,
trusting.
I agree to get
creepy
mail from
me
you.
On the internet.
I agree to get mail and or a visit from you. And then a few days later, I got a large envelope in the mail that had my Twitter bio at the time and still in this beautiful hand lettering on a cream piece of paper, this beautiful and then black lettering, and it says, kindness or GTFO, which is my Twitter bio.
AKA get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Which is also a good life bio.
Yes. And, you know, Twitter bio is, right, it's like your most, I think it's the most exposure I have anywhere, so.
Cool. So mine says, I'm still not over losing prom queen in 1995, so I guess that says a lot about me.
Well, there you go.
Yours is like, kindness. Mine is like, ugh, Valerie Craft, what up?
Right. Okay. Cool.
Well, I mean, you didn't
good
get
point.
Blood dropped on you at prom,
it's true, it's
so
true, it's
you're
true.
Still winning.
Right,
it's true. Optimism.
Right.
It's all about
it's
perspective.
It's what you do.
Sure.
It's
it
how
is,
I
yeah.
identify.
No, and then, so that was the moment where I was just like, okay, she's different.
Yep.
She's not like your run of the mill. And it's not like everyone needs to, please not everyone start mailing me stuff. That's not my point. My point is that you were moved to do that on your own and that you were moved by what I wrote enough. And I think that that's the common denominator on Twitter is that you can really see like even what people write or how they write can show you who they are,
right?
Or how they present themselves. And so that just, it just was like, I was sobbing on my porch, like holding this package.
Oh, shut the front
like,
door.
There's mail here and there's this thing here. And it's like, I think it was around a year ago.
Yeah.
And I always have the hardest time in the spring.
I like, do too.
God damn it.
Yeah, I do
fucking
too.
Spring. Everyone's like, oh my God,
spring
it's so
and
awesome.
Fall. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But it's this super hyper transitionary time. I love summer. I love what's coming. But so why does that matter? So that moment of like real, like a human connection was really important to me. And I think it was the moment where I realized that we would be friends no matter how long it took us a year to meet in person or not. Maybe that's not the definition mm-hmm. of friendship anymore. Maybe it's never been the definition of friendship.
Right.
Like we have to have these like, we get together all the time. We do this perfect stuff. We have like.
That's hard when you get older.
Yeah.
And older. Yeah. Like I'm an octogenarian already. So
right.
Intravenous drugs.
Right.
But the older I get, I think it's true. And I listened to your previous podcast. I'm a fan. about, you know, adult friendships and how I think it's just loving fiercely and just showing who you are and showing up when it's necessary. And I text you, Jen, probably as much as anybody.
I love it.
Which is
so
almost never.
It makes
but
me so
still,
happy.
It's just know that I adore you and know that we're connected yep. and let that be enough. And
yeah,
that's what I want in
yeah.
my life. Yeah.
It is me too. And I feel like it's, I think I told the story about that, like getting permission to sort of do that as a yeah. woman that happened to me like 10 years ago or so, where these two women I was in a show with, invited me into their like friendship. They knew each other starting the show. So, you know, that's always a little bit weird.
Yep.
I was a total outsider and they were truly like, sit with us. Like
oh,
the
nice.
Ultimate girl, like you can't sit with us. Like we all know that from Mean Girls, right? Like,
or middle school.
Right. Or middle school.
Or
like,
my
but it's
life.
Become like this famous idea, you know, but, and then just deciding at that moment that I was going to keep, like start doing that forever
yeah.
and be the woman who also, or the girl that also did that for other women, like just tell a joke right away when I meet
yeah,
a woman or like,
feel comfortable.
You know, take myself, like I always, like that always happens to me or like find a moment, an opening where you could be like flawed or show your flaws. And so like the idea that you just were like, bam, I'm going to do this. I don't care what she thinks about it. I don't know her very well to even gauge her reaction to it. Was like one of those moments where I was like, mm-hmm, she gets it.
But I think that also comes with like how you feel about yourself and when you're, you get older and you just kind of like give less fucks, you know, you're just like, listen,
you save your fucks for the things.
Yeah.
Worth
yeah. Yeah.
Giving.
Like I'm going to
save your fucks. Yeah. I like
yeah.
that.
I'm going to do what I want to do. And if people don't like it, I kind of don't really care. Anyway, there are certain realms that I still care mm-hmm. and I have like removed myself from those for the mm-hmm. most part because that doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I want to buy a cat wig and like tell people about it, like I'm going to do it. Like I don't care. You can think I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. If it brings me joy, fuck off. Like I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I feel like you, Athena, like put out there too, which
I try
awesome.
Really hard.
Yeah. And like you, and you're really vulnerable in a lot of places too, which I think is really cool because I think that also shows like true, like humanness, if that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember reading about like when like you lost your job and mm-hmm. like what that was like. And then like all of the positive things that have kind of like stemmed from that. I mean, it's just like really cool. I feel like social media is such a place where people only talk about the highlights of things. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's your like top 10 reel and people
or additionally, like it's not natural how we receive the stuff anymore because
yeah.
of algorithms.
Right.
So maybe you drop in one day, read some stuff. And like three times in a row, you only read the person's positive stuff.
Right.
Like you didn't, you know what I mean? Like we don't.
Wouldn't you love to get into like the Facebook brain and be like, how does this work?
Yeah. I mean, even Instagram, I was one of the last people to get this, but now Instagram is showing up in an algorithmic way.
Mine
instead
hasn't
of a natural
changed
way.
Yet.
Mine hasn't
so
either.
So hands
yesterday.
Raised emoji.
Yeah. How do you, what's the way it shows up now?
It's just like Facebook where it goes to top stories instead of most recent. By default.
Can you change it?
I don't think so. Don't
you can, and I did recommend like the people that you really want to see every post, like do the thing where you get a text message notification.
No. I don't want to get a text when someone posted it. Oh,
I know. But
okay, my boyfriend does that. This is hilarious.
I know. Pause, your boyfriend.
You always know who does because they like your photo first.
He has a notification for every time I post something on Instagram. That's probably cute. Because I talked about his poops too many times.
So excited to talk about poop later.
Oh, girl, every episode.
So, yeah, so you didn't. Jen has written some questions out here that look really good. And I'm curious about the first one.
No, keep talking about how much you like me. This is really nice for me.
Super nice, right?
We do like you. That's what you're here.
I read your blog like a million times.
Thank you.
And I just think there's some interesting things. Like,
yes.
When you, because you're a photographer.
I'm a photographer.
You're many things.
I like to say that I'm a storyteller.
Yes.
And right now I'm choosing to tell stories through images. I've always wanted to be a writer.
Yeah.
I think I'm stronger as maybe a poet or a lyricist sometimes than I am a writer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have the courage to write. Like, I'm going to say that out loud. I don't have the courage to convict myself to actually sitting down and writing something because the world could hate it.
Yeah.
I'm not really great with that. So I tell stories through images right now.
And your images are beautiful.
Thank you.
You can, you know, see many of them on your website at athenapelton.com.
Or on my Instagram.
Or on Instagram,
yeah. Yeah.
And I saw your exhibit at Art of World.
Thank you.
Yes.
For coming.
And I know like a lot of things that you do, portraits and weddings and other things, commercial stuff, but your wedding images, like I've always been super moved by those because they're not like the traditional wedding bullshit that you
see. No bullshit.
And I love that because it shows like people's personalities and I know that's one of the things that you really like strive to do, which I think is very cool. Cause I like in comedy, you know, we have headshots all the time and like stuff like that. And I can always tell when a bunch of people have worked with the same photographer because they have like the same setup. It's like the same thing.
Same lighting.
Oh, yeah. Same
it's
thing.
It's like
over
senior
and
pictures for grownups.
Yeah. And I just hate that. Like I never, ever want to have that.
That
and
happens at conferences too. You can tell who
it's always
the
like
same
tilt
conference
the
because they got the free headshot. At
yeah.
The
yeah. It's always like tilt the shoulder, chin up, like whatever. But I know that.
I tell fart jokes and make people laugh. So that's my secret.
And you know what? I'm a terrible subject of photography, and I'm not saying that because I want you guys to say that I'm not. Truly, I am. Like, poor, you know, Cadence and Eli.
I do. They're great.
I love them, Cadence and Eli Photography. They helped me out with some headshots, like, on the fly.
But they look like you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, here's the thing about that. We
they're
spent,
great.
Like, 2 hours, and poor Eli is like, hey, just like, you know, and I was like, this is awkward.
That's how you know you're failing when the photographer doesn't know how to give you direction.
Well, and and the thing is he's so great. And he was like, just tell me some jokes, like whatever. But I get super nervous when it's just focused on me.
Yeah.
You know, like that's.
Says I'm the stand-up comedian.
Well,
but whatever.
But that's
isn't it like, weird how it doesn't
so
transfer?
Weird.
But that's my craft. Like versus like just standing there and being like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like,
well,
I don't
in
know
photographs, being photographed, it's like almost the most vulnerable you'll ever be. Because you just have to stand there and do nothing with your hands, which, let's face it, is weird.
And then I'm
doing things with my hands right now.
How does my face, like, I need to like, like, what are the poses? I don't know. Like, I'm super like, awkward.
What's my good side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's weird how it's like, you know, taking pictures of ourselves as much as we do now, which is, you know, normal, like at any event or not
but
just on your own.
But you can see what you look like when you take a picture.
Right.
And you're like, oh, chin up.
But just like you think we'd memorize how to hold our heads even.
No.
But oh my gosh, the difference between.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so poor, like I just was like, you guys are so nice. It literally spent like 3 hours with me and which is way too long. And
you're like, in and out, 20 minutes.
Yeah. And they're like, well, you know, thank you. So I appreciate the art form. And I think so what you do is amazing. But I read that like photography wasn't a thing that you had set out to do. So like tell me.
It was super accidental. I was a mom blogger.
Yeah,
we talked about this a little bit before the show. I had a baby and I was living the dream suburban life. Yeah. I had a house. I shopped at Kohl's. It was fantastic. I had no friends and no social life, but I had a baby. Which was weird because I never thought I'd be a mom.
Yeah.
Okay. More on that later, maybe.
Yeah.
That's another podcast entirely. But I we had a baby and we took her to like Target Portrait Studio and Babies R Us, which we affectionately refer to as the BRU.
Yep.
And they would take her portraits and she'd just frown. And it became this funny thing that her face would just look like a sad doll, even though that wasn't who she was. But I secretly really loved the sad doll milestone photos because they sort of spoke to how shitty it was that I was taking my kid to portrait studios and putting her in like my 6-month-old in a swimsuit in front of a beach background. So my husband studied photography. By studied, I mean like added it on one semester with basket weaving or something.
Right.
I did that too. You know, you have to fill out the electives.
When you actually developed the film.
In basket weaving,
No, I like in photography, it was like you went into the black
The dark room. He did that too. And granted, all of his photos were landscapes, but I somehow in my Cole's affected brain thought that meant like he could just take digital photos. Yeah. So we bought an SLR from Best Buy.
Okay, yeah.
And he never used it, so I started to. I wanted images that showed who she was and not just what she looked like in front of a backdrop. Mm-hmm. So I read other blogs and learned how to take images and just shot incessantly.
So you when I was with her,
I'm officially self-taught.
That is amazing.
And I think the big reason why my images still look like real people is because that's why I started. I became a photographer because I wanted images that showed who my daughter really was and not just the scripted posed moments of her life. And I don't, it's my approach to weddings. I don't walk in and script anything. If I miss something, I don't make people redo it. If they want the lights off, I don't turn them on. Whatever it might be, I don't change any details of the day. I'm just there. Sometimes I shoop. At the reception, depending on how much whiskey you give me.
Yeah.
No, that's not even true. I don't need whiskey to shoop.
When I get married, girl,
I will be your bridesmaid.
Well, obviously.
And for your wedding.
Bridesmaid.
That's right.
Say, see?
Pirates.
I'm making the hat. See, we all know. We're winning. We won.
Amazing.
Yes. We won. We don't even have to compete in the Hunger Games that will be becoming a
I can shoot a bow, so watch yourself.
Sailor theme. Oh. Yep.
I can fly fish.
That's going to be...
Oh, shit. Threw it down.
What is happening?
I'm sweating now. Like, I'm going to smell my BO.
Right? Nobody wants to get my sideways glass.
I'm very scared of your super light fly tapping the top of the water. I can't. Okay, I'm hyperventilating.
Did you ever see... Okay, this is a total side tangent, but I feel it's relevant to reference at this junction. My favorite video that ever lived is Oprah and Gail... going camping together. Okay. It's like the most hilarious altogether. But there is one piece where they go fly fishing. And my best friend Sarah and I, like, we always like joke about how I'm Oprah and she's Gail. Cause Oprah is like all about the fly fishing and Gail's just like, fuck this shit. And so the video of them fly fishing, it just made me, your interaction right here just made me think of that. So
we gotta watch it.
We'll have to. We'll have Photoshop. To watch it. It's honestly so funny because Gail's just like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Want to be my Gail?
I would love to be your Gail. Want to be my
Gail? It's great. Anyway, back to you. So, photography, self-taught, amazing. Weddings, great. So,
if there's any way that weddings can be like saved, today's weddings, it's like through photography or not. Like it could be radically the other way.
But pro tip: don't hire your cousin to shoot your wedding. Oh, it never ends well. Like, let me just put that out there on the airwaves.
Do you remember when people used to put like the
disposable cameras? I did that at my wedding.
Okay, I'm making fun of you.
You should.
That was really popular those years.
I've been married for 12 years today. It's my wedding anniversary. Mm,
snap.
So I got married the same day as J-Lo and Mark Anthony, and it's working better for us.
It seems like it.
Clearly.
That was 12 years ago?
12 years ago. It tornadoed on my wedding day.
Shut
on my
up.
Outdoor wedding. So don't cry to me about rain. I don't care.
But I think that's really good for a photo, isn't it?
No, I had terrible wedding photography. I'm sorry, wedding photographer, if you're listening. By terrible, I mean, it was executed just fine, but everything was posed and everything was scripted and nothing looked like us. There were no candids. And on top of paying the photographer to come and shoot our photos, we then had to buy images at the end. So we had to choose which ones we wanted to purchase. So I don't even have, so I don't even have a full story. He left before the reception. So we, because we knew he was leaving, we put the disposable cameras at the reception so we could have reception images. There, I was 23 when I got married. So do the math on how old I am. I'm 28.
the boys always do that. They're like, Mama, you're like 31, right? I'm like,
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So somebody asked me if I was 24 and I said, I am today. Yes, I'm 24. Yep.
Thank you for asking.
At this moment.
At this moment, right now, because you asked, I'm going to say yes, because I don't believe in no today.
Absolutely.
I'm Jim Carrey.
Absolutely.
I can't say no. So I hated my wedding pictures, which is another big part of how I approach shooting anything.
Well, they're just how I approach weddings. Absolutely magical.
How did you, this is a sidebar, but I'm just interested because it's your anniversary. How did you and your husband meet?
We met at Trollhagen. Snowboarding when I was in high school, which is where we got married.
Oh, that's cool.
Or where our reception was. But I met a girl snowboarding. We became friends and they were dating. And then they broke up and I met my husband. His name is Daryl. I met Daryl the day after they broke up or something. And I remember him saying hello to me. We have the same group of friends. And I was like, you're the fucker that broke Jen's heart. I don't like you. Because I was 16 and a jerk.
Right.
And that was our first meeting. Jen was actually the maid of honor in our wedding.
You met when you were 16?
So, yeah.
Holy cow.
We started dating when I was 20.
That's so cool.
Yeah. 9/11 brought us together.
Right. As it does.
As it does. Yeah. Because we started dating that summer. Then we broke up because I thought I still wanted to be with my ex. And, you know, I was 20. What did I know?
Yeah.
Apparently that I wanted to get married, but no. Yeah. And then 9/11 happened and it was like, we could all die. I love you. Be my boyfriend. And the rest is history. He was our beer guy. He's 5 years older than I am. Oh my God, so I was 17. He was 21. So he went and bought us St. Ides. Throwback.
Oh, we love throwback alcohol talks on this show.
Some Zima.
Yep.
I'm sorry to all of you kids listening.
Put a Jolly Rancher in
Zima.
That shit.
Ooh.
Call it a day.
Yeah.
Jolly Ranchers always like click that like
yeah they do
because
it's
jaw,
yeah
you
know when it's so tangy
just get stuck or caramel apple suckers
yeah so tangy
yes
they so taste tangy. So good but are so bad
oh my God
it's gonna be our new show bio
okay so tell me about how you okay with your with because you worked a corporate job for a long
I
time.
I did
so.
I worked in medical device sales in
Shut
orthopedics
up.
For 10
I didn't
years.
Know what it was
like
you did.
Super corporate job I did I basically did. I was Ryan Gosling in Love and Other Drugs. That's Ryan Gosling, right?
Yeah.
Except instead of selling Viagra and having lots of sex, I was selling orthopedic devices and pain management.
Oh my God. Did you hate it? Or
I loved it for a really long time. I wanted to be a doctor, but don't like math, which is huge hindrance if you want to be a doctor.
Yes.
So I became accidentally a medical device sales rep. As in I dropped out of college to work for this company because a girlfriend of mine who I waited tables with was like, you should work here. It's a shit ton of money.
Oh my God.
And so I did and climbed the corporate ladder and didn't break any glass ceilings. Sorry, Hillary.
Yeah.
And did that and the company turned south and it was terrible. So I was ready to get out. So.
Yeah. So it was kind of like a blessing.
Though. Uber corporate job. Like pencil skirts and heels every day. I had to cover my tattoos.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I always wonder about that because like I work, it's like I work at a nonprofit, but it's a nonprofit corporate. I mean, it's an association. And, you know, we work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of that weird
In between.
Blend between. Yeah, it's not like grassroots by any means.
Yeah.
But I'm always super paranoid about tattoos, my tattoos, and like what other people are thinking. Not in the sense of like, I give a fuck, not like that, but like, I don't want to come off as not professional.
Right, or less is fair, or come off like you don't give a fuck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would cover them for if I was meeting a new physician.
Yep.
I would cover them. And then once I built the relationship, then they knew me. I swear a lot and I'm sarcastic and I have zero, I'm not a sales rep.
Right.
I've never been a sales
aren't
be
a
person.
Big surprise.
And when it's 90 degrees outside, you're like, I'm not going to wear.
Oh, I started my sales career like actually being an outside sales rep in Austin, Texas. I moved to Austin to take a promotion, and 90 degrees is like winter.
Right.
I mean, it was 120 degrees and I would walk the huge parking lot into Fort Hood. That was my biggest account, and just drenched. Sweat. So, yeah, no. Like, sleeves became, well, I didn't have as many tattoos then either. Yeah. So it wasn't as big of a deal, but.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So yeah, Uber corporate girl.
Oh my God.
Slash creative do-it-aller who how drinks do you, whiskey and how rides did a you motorcycle. Balance that?
Yeah.
My husband. I mean, I'm not just shouting out to him because it's our anniversary, but it's true. People ask me all the time, like, how do you do it all? And my answer is I don't watch TV.
Yeah.
And I have a really supportive spouse. He's a stay-at-home dad, and he did all of the stuff so that I could do all of the stuff.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's incredible.
He's really great. And I wouldn't have been able to have a full-time job plus build my own business on the side if he wasn't okay with being the full-time caregiver and not making me feel guilty about really not being that present of a mom sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, you're a mom, Kate, you know, there's guilt like the second that thing squeezes out of you.
Yeah, like you're not doing
it. It's just
enough.
Like, oh, yeah. I didn't have a sea turtle birth. Like, I did this wrong.
Do you know what my therapist told me, and I've said this before, she's like, listen, every parent fails their child no matter what. Doesn't matter. Like, you're
baseline,
gonna fail.
You suck.
You are gonna fail your child. It just differs in degree.
Mm-hmm. Because I always say, I'm 50% of the time I'm parenting one of them wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the thing is, you're different people. Yeah. Like, you are two different beings, and there's no possible way that you could know what your child needs at any given time. No. You don't have the same brain.
And they don't have the ability to express it, to say, I need you to not be sarcastic right now. I'm like, well,
it's a really
great
way to forgive your own parents, like having kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned to forgive my, like having kids is its own therapy. I really learned to forgive my mom for a lot of the things that I think I was mad about from my childhood. Once I had kids of my own, to be like, no, you do the best you can with what you have where you are. And as long as that's sort of how I enter my day, we're okay. And now my youngest wants to be just like me when she grows up. I want to have a job and I want to leave the house and I want to live in, I want to work in a studio.
Cute.
And I want to do all the things that mommy does.
Your girls are so cute. Like, they're so, and I don't really say that to people a lot about their kids.
She doesn't. She really doesn't.
My kids are cute.
They really are. And like, they have, you can tell like in the photographs that I've seen of them, and I know you talk about how you want to take pictures of who they really are, but I can see that. Like, I can see their personalities come through, and there's pictures, and I've never met them.
Well, Elena's now doing the frowny face doll thing when I take her picture, which is just aces, because now like I can side by side her 6-month photo to what she looks like now.
So cute.
And she looks just like me, which I apologize for daily, but but cute. She's just like her dad. So my oldest looks like me and is exactly her father's personality, and then it's opposite for the youngest. Like, isn't the youngest is me as a kid. Super weird.
My kids are really cute too.
And your kids are
my kids
really
are really cute also.
Well, you were like, my kids are cute. I'm like, yeah, my kids are really cute too. Like, they're really, really cute. Like, it's like, it's a funny thing because you are totally biased. But I mean, I could imagine maybe not thinking one of them is cute.
But and that's the cute thing is hard for me because I have girls. But so I just have to say for the record that my kids are also wildly imaginative and very, very intelligent and
totally
super into science, which is great.
Yeah, mine are just cute.
Yeah, they're boys. Just they can just be cute. They've already got like 2 steps in front of my daughters because of their penises. Totally. So
I just feel like all I'm doing on earth is raising boys who are not just their penis. Yeah. Like they're like emotionally.
That's the most important job, I think.
Smart
is the
and open partners
of boys.
Like, they just like will talk to people mostly. Mm-hmm. Like, talk openly.
They are so nice.
With whoever's partner.
They're so kind and nice and thoughtful. Like, watching them on your wedding day, like, was like the cutest thing. I am like, I have like a stone cold
heart.
Yeah. And like, I'm like, oh my God. Cause like,
they're listening to Kyle talk.
Yeah. And they're just sobbing.
And they're just like, their faces are.
Yep.
And they're just like holding back tears. 5 years now?
We've been married since January.
Oh, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But you've been together for.
Yeah.
We've been together for a while. So I didn't make that up in my brain. I like to make things up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you pick things up along the way.
Yeah. It was so cute. I cried when her kids cried. I was like, oh God.
Yeah. Oh, that was so sweet. And then we stopped everything in the middle and asked them to come. I said, yeah. Like, do you guys need a hug?
And they're like, yeah.
They just came up in the middle and we all sort of sobbed. And then
it was really sweet.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
And you have good wedding pictures.
We have really good wedding pictures.
Perfect.
Yeah. We had Leslie Plesser come.
Oh, I love her.
And then also one of Kyle's friends who's a photographer come.
Perfect.
So we had two like phases almost.
Also, if you're going to hire a cousin, don't. But if you're going to hire your friend who is a professional wedding photographer, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Just these are
I used to plan weddings, so advice. I know who and who not to.
Oh.
I used to do weddings like full time before I had kids and stayed home for 8 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
Planning a wedding. You're my
That's
hero.
Why you're Crazy. So good at analog Pinterest.
I have like 7 binders of analog Pinterest.
Analog Pinterest, yeah. Pinterest beta.
I have like all magazine like pull sheets. Oh, yeah. They're right over there.
I got married before Pinterest.
Yeah.
That shit was hard.
Yeah.
Also, I wore a ball gown and had only pink roses. It was absolutely nothing you would expect looking at me.
Wow.
I lost myself for a while.
Yeah. How'd you find it?
How'd I find myself?
Yeah.
I turned 30. That was really the start of it. I think 30s are letting go of fucks that you don't need to hold on to and learning who you really are. And social media has helped, as weird as that sounds. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really good about sharing my struggle and who I am. And a lot of that is because I struggle with depression and am painfully self-aware.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
I've always been painfully self-aware, but there's nowhere to put it. I don't journal, so I just share it on Instagram.
But I think that's helping other people too, because I know for me, it's always nice. You feel, we talk about it, Kate, and I know we've talked about it, Athena, but like, depression is a really isolating thing. And even though, like, in your brain, you know that other people experience that, when you talk about it, it somehow becomes less isolating for you. And other people take comfort knowing they're not alone.
Also. Yeah, Me Too effect is huge when it comes to, well, depression, but also just, like,
life.
Yeah, just, like, social media has become so great because of that. And I hear people like saying, oh, social media, too much, blah, 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 all fake. And I'm like, I've had the opposite experience.
Clean out
and
your feed.
Maybe it's because I'm a depressive that. Clean up your feed.
Clean
for
up
sure.
your feed. Yeah. If what you see, I do a photography workshop, and one of the things that I talk about is junk food. Like, we have junk food that we put in our bodies. I like Cheez-Its and, you know, ice cream, but it's junk food. It doesn't make us feel good after we've eaten it. It only sort of makes us feel good while we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And the same is true for social media or anything that we ingest outside of our home space. If it makes you feel like shit, don't fucking do it.
Yeah.
If it's your friend, sorry that you can't be happy for your friend. Stop following them on the internet until you learn how to be happy for them.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge thing. That's this giant, huge thing because we've talked about this too. Like, I want to be happy for my friends. Like, I want to be excited when good things happen to them. And I want to, like, wholeheartedly, it's kind of like when you go to a wedding and, like, the people getting married, you're like, okay. But then there's the people who get married that you're like, oh my God, this is so great. Like, your heart is just like bursting with happiness for them. Like, that's how I want to feel for my friends. Mm-hmm. And it does not feel good when you don't feel that way.
No, but then you keep doing it. It's like watching a burning building or picking off a scab.
Yeah.
Like, this sucks, but I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Stop.
Right. You can only change what you're doing.
You can only change what you're doing.
The fact that somebody posts the same thing every night at the same time and it always gives you the same feeling.
Yep.
Like, that's the only thing you can change is removing
it. If it makes you feel like crap, stop doing it. It's like life rule.
Right.
You wouldn't walk into a fire. So don't follow people on the internet who make you feel like shit about yourself.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Agreed. I don't, for the most part.
I don't anymore.
I try and make people like.
It was hard with comedy because, you know, you had to like keep in.
Those like institutionalized, like whatever our groups are. Like,
keep in the dailies. Like, and now I think because I've been like so removed for so long, like the algorithm for Facebook, like, it doesn't populate all those people's feed like into my feed anymore, which is nice. A lot of them I unfollowed, but like,
yes,
a lot of it I don't see. But every once in a while, I secretly just go and look at their Facebook pages.
Because sometimes it does feel good.
Yeah, and then
you remember how bad it made.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then I'm like, oh yeah, now I remember why I don't. Pay attention.
Yeah, you need that reminder. It's like drinking too much scotch every once in a while to remember that you only need one.
Yep. And it's a sipper. It's a sipper.
It's a sipper.
Oh, yeah.
She's a sipper.
I'm learning that the hard way. I drink my scotch like I drink my wine. And then I'm like, what the, how the fuck am I drunk at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday?
Listen, Lindas. Lindas. We all need to go to the bar, clearly. This is a thing. Like, the three of us sometimes
need a car. We're going to need a car. Car service.
You live in an Uber place. I live in the suburbs.
What suburb do you live in?
I don't want people to know where I live because I'm famous on the internet. No, I live in Blaine.
Oh, Bling Blaine.
Oh, it's not too far from here.
That's
it's
what
not
I call far, it, Bling Blaine.
And it's just as bad as you think it is, but it's not as bad as you think it is.
I don't know. I've seen pictures of your neighborhood. It looks really cute.
I live in a neighborhood of city expats. So we all moved to the suburbs because X reasons.
Yep.
And you know what? Yeah, I have no shame for my zip code.
Yep.
I love my house.
What's your mobile phone?
777
film. No, like the area code. What area code?
Oh, 612.
Yeah, there you go. See, it's
I am not 763.
It's like that Sex in the City episode. Remember when she had to get a new
212.
Phone?
I'm a 212. Yeah.
So I remember when I first got
Manhattan.
Manhattan, yeah.
In New York.
Oh, okay. I was like, is that Manhattan?
When I got...
Oh, I don't know what it is. 507? No, that's South.
Duluth is...
218.
218.
I'm clearly out of touch with area codes.
When I got a mobile phone, I had to be... It was right when the zip codes all created. Like for Minneapolis, you know, it was like 651, 612.
Oh, yeah. Area like, codes, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Is that what I... What did I say?
You said zip codes, but
I meant area codes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. And... I lived in Northeast then as well, and I had to get a 763.
No.
I had it because Sprint did not own any 612 in any 612 numbers yet. Like, this is how old this was. This is like 2000.
Well, we're all elderly, so it's
And I was like, you don't understand. Like, when you go downtown after 5 p.m. on a Friday or a Saturday, which I never do, by the way, because it becomes inundated by the 763 and the 952ers. That's what I call it. I'm like, oh, you got to bolt. It's by 6 p.m. Otherwise, you're going to be...
I know. Yeah. If I'm in a bar and I'm like, I don't know any of these people. Right. I just get out.
It's the 952ers. They're in. So that's... I recognize. So when you say, I have to be a 612, like, I get you, girl.
Yeah. No, I had a home phone, which... Why?
Right.
I would be 763. Yeah. 773 is Chicago. And I lived in Chicago in 99. And I really wanted a 312. So I lied about my address when I got my number so that I could get a 312 for my cell phone. And then I changed my address.
That's amazing. God, it's all about status.
It's all about the status.
I don't mind this. I mean, I think that I see my friends' yards in the suburbs and I'm like, I know why. Yeah, I mean, I totally get it. I think there's a perception that it might be safer, which I think is weird because it's not.
Yeah.
You know, overall, but... Do you know what I mean?
Certain streets. Like, that's the issue I had.
Parking, I'm going to sound like a suburbanite when I say this, but I like being able to go somewhere and park my car there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
I do that in the city.
I don't even try to buy places where I'm not going to
park. Is that an age thing? Once you get past a certain age, parking
might be the size of your vehicle, too. I mean, depending.
I don't like to pay for parking.
Yeah. I just pull into a meter. I'm like, what a risk it.
Yeah.
I live on the edge. Minor anarchy.
Yeah. I didn't pay for a meter for like 18 months.
Despite outward appearances, I am a rule follower when it comes to that.
Okay. Huh. So when I was in college, I went to the University of Minnesota. I had I was supposed to graduate in 2000. I had a 1993 Ford Festiva. So that was like the smart car before smart cars.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very small. And I was an art student, so I always had to carry like my portfolio and like my big bucket of goods and services. And so I would drive, even though I lived across the 10th Avenue Bridge and my school building was like on one side and my house was on the other. All I had to walk was the damn bridge, but I would drive because I had all this shit to carry. And I would risk, there was a parking lot right there, a paid parking lot. And then there was some street parking, but the street parking was only for an hour and art classes lasted about 4 hours long. So I would risk, I'd weigh, okay, if I paid for parking every day this week or pay parking the 1 hour parking and risk getting a parking ticket at most once a week, which is cheaper, parking ticket. So I would park and I would get a parking ticket once a week. I never paid the goddamn parking tickets. So I get a call from my mother one day.
You anarchist.
Yep. I get a call from my mother because the car was
living
in my dad's name. I get a call from my mother and she says, yeah, so we got We got
I like you to do that Midwestern accent.
We got something interesting in the mail today. We got something interesting in the mail today. I go, yeah, what's it? She goes, well, it's a letter from the city of Minneapolis saying that there's a warrant out for your father's arrest. I was like, oh, really? What's that about? She goes, I don't know. Looks like it's something about unpaid parking
tickets. Did you tell her at that time she should really have a conversation with her husband about who he really is?
I go, well, sounds like you should pay it then if you ever want dad to come back to Minneapolis. And she was like, God damn it, Jennifer. Take a wild stab at how much these parking tickets, how much I had ramped up in parking tickets.
I'm going to guess at least $500.
Okay.
$358.
Okay, Athena, you win. It was about $500 in unpaid parking tickets.
And back then, they were only like $22 a piece.
Yeah.
Well, winner. I was like, wow. Well, Pam, you guys should probably take care of that.
That should be your new Twitter bio.
Yeah, that seems very irresponsible of my father to do something like that. Wow. You should take care of it.
I love it.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, my God. So I'm a firm believer in park your car.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
So tell us how much sleep you get every night, because I think it has something to do with how lovely you are.
Yeah. A lot. Thank you.
I've had a feeling. See? I had a feeling.
Like 9 hours.
Really? Mm-hmm.
I knew it.
So when I worked 2 jobs, sleep was also something that I sacrificed.
Yeah.
And the second I got laid off, I looked at my husband and I was like, I'm not getting up in the mornings for a while. And it's now June and a while hasn't ended yet.
Oh my God.
He gets the kids ready in the morning. He works part-time nights too. So he does the parent thing in the morning. I do the parent thing at night.
That's so nice.
Yep. No, I sleep.
That's a partnership.
And that's just it. It's not a marriage. It's a partnership. And I really do believe that. Sometimes I don't like him.
Yeah. But
love
him.
I do. And it's been hard.
People
it's
that
not
pretend
always
that they like their spouses all the time
easy.
Are lying.
You can't like your best friend all the time. Sometimes they it's really true. Fucking piss you off, but you love them and you want them in your life. And my husband is one of my best friends. He is not my best friend, because I think that it's important to have relationships outside of your main relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also I really enjoy having super close relationships with people I don't have sex with.
Yep.
Smart.
So agreed. Yeah, he's an incredible human.
I'm glad you said that. And I'm glad you have that, because I feel like there's so much is possible within love. And I do not want to sound like I'm being XOXO there.
JK.
Pollyanna. But it's just it's true.
That's how I learned to be a perpetual optimist, because you mentioned that at the top of the show. And it was watching Pollyanna with my grandmother as a child. Haley Mills taught me everything I need to know in life.
I always call myself that. I was like, I'm a little bit of a Pollyanna.
I had a hard time.
I'm gonna just go ahead and say, probably 6 months ago, it'd be really a lot harder for me to understand what you just said about a partner. But now I feel we've talked about this, where I'm like, I kind of get it now.
Good.
Yeah, and you can't get it unless you're within it. And nobody's trying to say, you don't even get it. That's not the point of that. But once you're within it, you're like, oh my God. Okay, soft place to land. You're for the first time, when someone really loves and supports you, you're like, I get how that feels to just be like, you know what? I'm going to take this risk, because I know that at the end of the day, I'm going to be loved and probably cared for. And maybe somebody will just do a Taco Bell run for me.
Right. I got to tell you this story.
Truth.
We went to Milwaukee last weekend, and I did shows there, and Josh came along. And he met my family, which was
I saw that on the internet.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was very, I was nervous about it, but I wasn't nervous for him. I was more nervous for what he was going to think of my family, and normally it's the exact opposite, where you're like, oh Jesus fuck. But was really funny is that my mother is we said, parents, they do the best they can with what they have. Absolutely. And my mom and dad were great. This time that I was there, we had a really good time, which I was actually kind of surprised. And there were a few times where my mom said some things where it was passive aggressive. Here's an example. She's like, we were at the cemetery on Monday morning for Memorial Day. And my mom was like, oh, if you guys happen to get up and get water, would you mind grabbing me one? And I was like, do you want me to get you a water? I will go get you a water. And she's like, no. Just if you happen to go. And then Josh was like, I'll go get her water. And I was like, oh, it's like he, and I know that's a weird example, but I was like, God, you just knew, instead of me being a bitch and being like, dude, just tell me if you fucking want a water. I will go get you goddamn water. He just stood up and went and got her a water. And I was like, that is a very cool.
He just takes the kindling off the fire.
Yes. And I and like that was really like.
He has kids too. So that says something. Yeah. About
it was
that,
really,
you know what I mean?
like kind of a tiny moment, you know? But I was like, oh, he just gets it. Like he gets this relationship and the dynamic, and he's just going to like try to make it easier.
But I mean, for the record, can we just stop and say, that is a fucked up behavior by on your mom's sake.
But it's totally just who she is. You
right.
know what I mean?
But
it's
I just like, want to acknowledge that for your sake.
Yeah.
That you had a right to be irritated because that's sort of an irritating behavior.
But that's just like a lifetime. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's like, it wasn't minutes. Even like a thing, but he
Let's
was just like.
Let's not start talking about our moms.
Yeah.
I'll
he was like,
be here
I'm just
going to
go get her a water. Like, did it. Like he just knew these cues that I didn't have to give him, you know? He just like
that's great.
Could see it for what it was. And so I just want to say that like what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's a big deal to like have someone just like, it's like complimentary with an E, right? It's just like somebody's like, okay, they're picking up the slack.
I still don't know the difference. I or E.
Oh,
I always have to look it up.
Oh, complimentary is like, you look really great today. And complimentary is like, you know what? We're going to work. We work so well together because
you were in art school. Complimentary colors. Red and green is the E.
I see, but I always have to look it up to make sure I'm using the right one.
Ah, got it.
Just don't ever write it down. Just say it.
Say it.
Just don't ever write it down.
No writing ever.
I like that. You just use
so positive.
The system.
It's like such a positive outlook.
Just don't write things down.
All right. Don't write things down. I want to ask one more question before we wrap it up because I feel like this is, I'm interested to get your take on this. If you were face to face with yourself 10 years ago, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh God, this is such a good one. Cause I've come so far like in the last year, that the thing that I would tell myself 10 years ago is that you don't have to impress anybody to be who you are.
Ugh. Preaching. Yeah. I mean, like,
I spent a really long time with low self-esteem and low self-worth and not thinking I was ever going to be good enough for anybody, that I tried way too hard to love people the way I thought they needed to be loved instead of just loving people the way that I know how to love and not giving a fuck about whether or not sending out your Twitter bio hand-lettered is weird. Yeah. Gift-giving is my love language. And so I would tell myself, just love the way that you know how and don't worry if people need it or want it. Trust that people will tell you that they don't. God. And if they want to walk away from you, let them.
Yep.
It's not a reflection of who you are as a human. It's just a reflection of what they need. And it might not be you. Yeah. And I don't, everybody doesn't need me.
Right.
And that would have been good for me to know 10 years ago.
That's so smart. That's so smart.
It would have been good for me to know 2 years ago, but especially,
Same. 1,000 times.
I do the best I can with what I have where I am. And if every day I can go to bed and say, was I Athena? Then yes.
I love that.
So. Yeah. And well, it's not a small amount of work to know how to answer the question, who is Athena either?
No, so every day it probably
props
changes.
Props to you for that. Yeah. But there's always like core stuff probably.
There's the core stuff. And it's just, did I make myself proud? Mm-hmm. Because if I made myself proud, then I let it by example for my children, and I was a good partner to my husband, and sometimes I'm a raging bitch. I'm sorry, Daryl, I love you. And sometimes I am on the floor in a pile of tears because I don't like the way my pants fit.
Yep.
And sometimes I have a really hard time looking in the mirror and liking what I see despite my preaching about it on the internet. I'm a person and I have feelings and I have flaws and I err. And I think that a part of my perpetual optimism is knowing that I get to wake up tomorrow and take another breath. So fuck everything else. Like that's pretty much the best thing that happens in your life is waking up every day.
Oh, so my dog thinks so.
Well, your dog is onto something.
Oh my God. Every day. It's so just sweet. Like the best day. That's
you're
my
awake
favorite
again.
Thing.
He's like, you're awake again.
Yep. That's
so
my favorite.
Happy.
I think like that has been this like single biggest part of like good mental health is having a dog.
The best thing you ever did since we've been friends is get a dog.
Because he's just like, this is the best. You're the best. I love you so much. You're
simply
oh my God.
Best.
Oh God. There's a video I posted on Instagram this morning. You have to watch it.
Okay.
I woke up. He's sleeping like right in
I'm
my
very
little...
sad that your dog is not here.
I know. Me too.
And then we didn't talk
about
poop.
Scan our Instagrams before we start the show next time.
Yeah. Do I get to come back?
Yes. Oh my God. He's sleeping right in like the little crook of my arm. I woke up. He's right
what
there.
What kind of dog is he? Like a Maltese?
He's like a Cairn Terrier.
I don't know what that means.
Toto from. Oh, yeah. But he's like mixed with like a Yorkie maybe or something. Okay. So he's real cute. And I was like, should we get up? And he just looks at me. I took a video. Should we get up? And he goes,
oh, buddy.
It was very sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very sweet. Made my day.
Well, you should track down Athena's shit. You can find her.
Not my actual shit.
Right.
That flushes.
If you want to see Athena's must go stuff, down. And you should.
Your t-shirts? I think I have almost every t-shirt you've done because I love them.
I have the feminist one.
Oh, okay. I don't have that one. But that I have.
That's through mysister.org.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. I have.
Which is Girl a great Boss. Organization to support.
It is.
Oh, Girl Boss. Yeah, you wore that to Beyonce.
Yep. I wore it to Beyonce.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
My heart just let out of my chest.
And I have It's Going to Be Okay.
Yep. Which is the first t-shirt I ever made. One.
And let's see. There's another one that you just did. What's the one you just did?
I just did a Don't Give Up.
That's right.
A good friend of mine, one of my best friends since high school, just got diagnosed with cancer and his sinuses because fuck cancer.
Right.
So I was trying to raise money to help him out.
Which I think is so cool that you do that.
But people need help sometimes. Yep. And
all the time.
People all the help. Time. And yeah. I don't have endless amounts of cash. So what can I do to give back?
Absolutely.
I love that. So you can find her at Athena Pelton on Twitter.
And everywhere.
AthenaPelton.com. Okay, everywhere
it's just
is the
Athena
same.
Pelton.
Thank you for making our jobs.
Boom, boom, boom. Branding.
Easier that way.
Yep.
You're the best. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay!
And sitting we finally did it. In my BO
Listen,
circle.
Mine too. I put on deodorant yesterday. I hoped it stayed.
I know. I've been on a BO quest since I stopped using conventional deodorant.
Oh, do you use the stone?
I do. The crystal.
Jesus,
that works the best. Program.
Okay. I don't use deodorant most days.
I use the crystal, the natural one. It does work.
No, I put on the shit that's going to give me breast cancer someday on the days I'm going to work out. And then the rest of the time, I just spray myself with patchouli because why did I hate that for so long?
That does
That's
work,
what I
though.
Would tell myself 20 years ago. Yeah. Just embrace patchouli.
That does
because
work.
Because it smells good.
Oh, there.
Also, I heard like add like the essential oils, like the... I think it's the
lavender works really well too.
Lavender.
And everybody loves the smell of lavender. Lavender makes people calm. So if you can like put your armpit in someone's face and have them fall asleep because they're calm, it's winning.
It's winning.
You're winning.
I got to get on that. All right. Okay. Where are we?
This is Jen.
Okay. I just want to hang out all day. I know. This is Jen, and you can find me on Twitter at Jen Shaw and on the Instagram and on the internet at jenshaw.com, which I never update, but I have a show in August. So there's
And
that.
This is Kate, and you can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate. You can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes. And now we're also on the Google Play Store.
Making it.
If that matters to anyone.
It matters to Google.
XOXO.
JK.
Thanks again to National Machine for their promotional consideration of XOXOJK. Go build cool stuff with them at nationalmachine.co.